It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
About to be a six-time champion.
Gronkowski, left side, makes the catch, and the kick is good.
Six times.
Takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Congratulations from your flagship station for Patriots football, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Get the app, get the Sports Hub, get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
This charge is a first-degree misdemeanor, punishable by up to 1 year in jail, a mandatory $5,000 fine, 100 hours of community service, and a class on the dangers of prostitution and human trafficking.
.985 Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. Mr. Ted Johnson. We're lucky to have him in studio this morning with us, and just wrapping up, we were talking about if the punishment indeed comes out for Robert Kraft, if he is found guilty, then the NFL is liable to do so. They made a statement that basically sounded like he's not going to get any kind of special or preferential treatment. If you just look at comparable things that had happened when Jim Irsay got that DUI and he had all those pills and the money in the back of his car, he got 6-game suspension and had to pay a big fine. And to that, just raised the question, when the banner ceremony happens, what is going to happen? Are the Patriots going to wait to do it till he gets back? I thought that was a ridiculous idea. It just doesn't make the story go away. On top of that, it is also almost like kind of playing down the severity of a crime. This isn't the Tom Brady situation where everyone knew that Tom Brady was innocent. Even if he didn't believe he was innocent, it's not a crime. It's just like a stupid, like slight competitive advantage. Everyone was behind them doing something for him and waiting to do whatever until he was back. This is not that case. You can't in any way, shape, or form, for all PR purposes, if you're the Patriots or you are the Krafts, do anything that marginalizes the severity of what the crime is. And now, John, you said a listener came up with a suggestion that might cure all of this. Because you were team wait till Robert Kraft
comes
back.
I was team wait till Robert Kraft comes back. And by the way, I just want to put in here that Ted Brady
was me.
And then he turned to my side.
I didn't hear
because
that.
Because I'm such a good...
Richie Hot Takes, right.
Oh, I'm so good at swaying the public minds.
He is convincing them.
This is from a listener, Ryan, who tweeted this. What if they hold a special banner-raising ceremony like a rally, not at the game before the season starts? I think this is a tremendous idea. You hold the banner ceremony the Friday or Saturday night before the expected Sunday night Patriots home opener, or if Robert Kraft is suspended and technically the NFL won't allow him in the building before week one of the NFL season starts, you hold it the night before the Thursday night game. You charge $10 a head to get in. All that money goes to charity. Maybe it's part of Kraft's expected sentence. You know, you have to 100 hours of community service. You send all the money to fight the dangers of human trafficking. It's a win-win for everybody. Kraft is in the building. He sees the banner drop. Everybody is happy.
It's my first gut reaction to that is great idea. Great idea. However, are you, in a way, doing what you're saying, Rich, by if you delay it till, you know, game seven, you know, presumably thinking he gets a 6-game suspension, he comes back game seven, it's at home, they do the banner drop then, waiting for Robert Kraft to be there, that by doing it before the season and circumventing the rules, if you will, of his suspension, that it's marginalizing the victims as well? That it's almost the same kind of thing? Like,
I don't think you're marginalizing anything, but, especially with the charity money involved.
All right. Well, number one.
Well, that's a good point.
This is all contingent on, first of all, like what the penalty's going to be. Like,
biggest one.
We're all assuming he's going to get suspended. I think that's a fair assumption.
No, what I mean is that I don't know whether that includes, I mean, obviously, any kind of team activities is probably what he'll be suspended by. It's not just games or things like that. So who knows when that will start? And if it starts at the first preseason game until week six of the regular season is over.
Preseason games?
Who knows? No. But if that's the case, I think it's happened before. I don't know.
I don't know about that.
But all I'm saying is that if that's part of it, then you would just have to do it outside of it. The other thing is, I don't doubt that it would be wildly successful. They drew 30,000 people to Gillette Stadium just to see Tom Brady throw a microphone to Scott Zolak that he dropped, where there wasn't even a game.
Right.
I mean, they would get that many people, and also, I mean, obviously Patriots fans would want to show support and all of that. Once again, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. It just sends the wrong message, and any kind of, because this is a PR nightmare for everyone involved. And the Patriots right now already have this reputation, fair or unfair, the world thinks that they're cheaters and that this horrible.
If the money goes to charity, that's the mitigating factor.
Okay, once again, do you do that because it keeps that story in the press?
No, you get even it if over you say, with before the season starts, and then the story is no longer a factor.
Okay, so it's a story till July then.
It's going to be a story regardless. This isn't going away regardless of what you do.
Because
your argument was if you delay it until week 8, week 10 of the season, that keeps the story aligned for the next two months. I've just eliminated that. The listener has just eliminated that.
Let me take you through the press release for this event. On July 15th at Gillette Stadium, the public is invited to come down for our banner-raising ceremony. All money will go to sex traffickers and the fight of sex trafficking.
Yes.
They don't want anything to do with those words, sex trafficking, right now. They don't want to have any kind of Patriots official thing that says that or not. You know what they want to do? The last time they want to mention that is in the eventual apology.
Then have the money go somewhere else. Then have the money go to another charity, to the Jimmy Fund.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you want to do something like that, then maybe that would be the case. But you have to suck it up. If you get punished.
Right.
At
the end of the day, that's the exact answer. If you look at, okay, what is the best thing from a PR standpoint that you can do? It is to literally just take your medicine. You know, Jonathan Kraft is going to have to represent you that night on opening night, Sunday night, which we all think the game is going to be a Sunday night game that they open up with. And he's not going to be there. They're not going to cover that part of it that much. Mm-hmm. Let's face it. If you watch the NFL Network, and a lot of the bigger, you know, networks covering this story, it's like it doesn't even really exist. If you look at a lot of the, those kind of stations that cover sports. So I think you can kind of, mitigate maybe the impact it'll have by camera angles and what you talk about and that kind of thing. But Mr. Kraft, this will crush him. So I could see him weighing every option to see how he can still be part of the ceremony and at the same time circumvent the suspension that he's inevitably going to get that we all think he's going
to get. But let's be honest, Ted. This championship means the least to him out of all championships. I mean, honestly, what did this really mean anyway? It just meant that you were greater than great. You know, it was like the fifth one meant you were the greatest of all time, and the sixth was just kind of like, all right.
You've only matched Pittsburgh. Now, you got to go for a seventh to be the best of all time.
Okay. Well, then, once again, just to my point, this one doesn't really mean much. Out of all the other ones, this meant the least of all of them.
I think you're wrong, but all right.
Okay, so which one of the six championships?
I think every championship is well-earned, and he's very happy about
it. Fine, but which one meant more? Which one meant less than this one? This one means the least out of all of them to him.
Ted, it was
the
one
least.
That you were involved with, right? No. The second one.
The 03 one was a great one, man.
Teddy J was that.
03 was good.
That was damn good.
Let's face it. Okay, so let's
We've
say
we've already won one. It's just sure. another one.
Let's say
what
Robert Kraft
does it make, right?
Okay, so Robert Kraft is completely removed from the situation. He's in the special place in time where he got to look down at his life, and it's like, here's your six championships. If you had to miss out on one of the Bears banner ceremonies, which one?
The
would
second
it be?
One, because you had all those ones after that. You already won one before.
No.
No, right?
It would be this
Ted?
One.
Stop right? it, John.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Stop it. It's not
much,
true.
Much bigger than me.
There's no in-your-face Goodell for Deflategate. We won without you. There's no, hey, we're rallying around. I mean, like, the last two before this one, you know, had, like, meaning because of all of that stuff. It really did.
Yeah.
This one is.
So the sixth one's
just
not really
cool.
a meaning.
This one's just like, man, it's cool. You know,
right.
you
saw.
Hey, look,
okay.
I mean,
this is fun.
The game wasn't even that great. You know, it's like out of all the ones you can miss, this is the one to miss.
Okay.
All right. Let's go.
Richie, hot take strikes again.
That ain't even a hot take. That is lukewarm at best. Let's go to all Alan right. on line six. Alan, what's up, man? You're on Dutcher and Rich.
Hey, Rich, listen, I can't agree with you more. They cannot have this banner raising before or wait until week seven. It's kind of like part of his punishment. He has to miss this.
Yep.
He has to miss this. It'll mean more.
Mm-hmm. And thanks for calling. It's the worst look.
Yep.
It's the worst look for everyone involved if you try to manipulate the punishment.
Yep.
And you just can't do it. And it's going to be weird. I guarantee you when he comes back and you see him in the box on week seven or wherever it's going to be, he's going to return. The place is going to go crazy. He's going to have a moment and all of that. But I mean, dude, you can't be unrepentant for this. You have to. And matter of fact, that's why I keep saying if you're him right now and you know they got you and you know they got a videotape of you and you know that like legally there's no way you can possibly get out of this. Get in front of it. Get out right now and say, you know what?
But he hasn't done that.
Well, it's because they're still fighting it. And you know what? And listen, in fairness, he may not have done it. You know, I mean, there's still that doubt that's out there. They said he didn't do it, so I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. However, if he knows he did, the best thing to do is just to say, I am sorry. I had a moment of indiscretion and a complete lapse in judgment. I've learned the error of my ways. And on top of that, I've learned more about, I've been educated about the world that goes on behind the scenes when it comes to this, and I am going to pledge X amount of money and continue to fight for these people's rights.
Do you think at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to? Because I think that's, I mean, I would be shocked if it doesn't, if Mr. Kraft doesn't just full mea culpa, apologize. Look, this was, I mean, if he fights us, and everything in the DNA of the Patriots and this organization suggests that they're going to fight this. That's the one thing. You're like, not only is he going to fight this, but he's also going to maybe try to circumvent any rule or, you know, any to get so that he can be a part of the banner raising, that he will circumvent maybe the whatever the details of his suspension is. So that's what they've done in the past. Maybe this one's different. We'll see. But in the past, the Patriots have fought tooth and nail to clear their good name and to make it seem like they did nothing wrong when there's evidence to the contrary in a lot of these instances.
All right, we've got a lot of people on hold. We'll take your calls in a little bit. But first, we got Mr. Mike Gorman, who's joining us. And he is going to hopefully explain what the hell is going on with these Boston Celtics. You can even hear it in Gorman's voice last night.
Yeah,
he doesn't like calling games like that. But, I mean, he was courtside right there when Brad Stevens swore on television.
No offense to Scalabrine, but last night needed Tommy courtside. Last night needed Tommy's touch courtside.
I don't know, man.
I need a...
But would he have done that about his own guys?
Last night he would have gone off.
Well, we will get some... We will get Mike Gorman's opinion on the matter and what he thinks Tommy would have done in that situation right after this.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Rebound off the court to Tatum. Jason going all the way. Offensive foul. And if you're going to push the ball late, I love the aggressiveness, trying to make a play. It's got to convert. This turnover right here is going to give the Raptors another opportunity to get a shot. Good charge by Gasol.
Tatum has picked up a technical foul.
Yeah, not the way you want to end the half. Tatum's wondering, what did I do? And missing the free throw. That's the look of, what did I do?
Oh, everybody saw it. Who cares?
Ooh. Brad Stevens is dropping F-bombs on TV. You know you have gone next level. It's like,
I was surprised to hear him say, I heard it. And I was like, out of that?
Oh, that was a rewinder.
Out of that?
Yeah.
sweet mouth. I don't know. Like the nicest guy ever.
It's like watching Ned Flanders get in a fist fight.
It's like, well, what just happened?
What just happened here? And, I mean, but isn't that kind of what this season has been?
Pretty much.
As a whole. So we're trying to get Mike Gorman. I don't blame him if he's slept in a little bit. I think everyone's
got
a little bit of
real late from Toronto last night.
They did. I think they got in like around 3 a.m. So, I mean, if we can't get him on right now, we'll hopefully try to get him on later in the show or possibly tomorrow. But, I mean, it's a game that's got a lot of people scratching their heads, especially when you have it juxtaposed beside what happened with the Bruins last night. One team, you've got a bunch of guys who are fighting, gritty. They are playing fast. They seem to be gelling despite there being their best scorer gone. You've got new pieces that, you know, we only have like a couple games with one of them and one game with one. And, you know, everything seems to be right now working fairly smoothly with these guys. And they're playing hard. That's the main thing. There's no question their effort. And then you got the Celtics. And I can't think of a worse just neck snap reactionary, awful, one extreme to the next moment than if you switched over from that Bruins game to the second quarter of the Celtics. Because what you did when you turned on that second quarter of that Celtics, you saw a team just give up. And that is something that this team, it has been the opposite of that. That has been, in fact, their calling card for the previous, what is it, four seasons with Brad Stevens before this year?
Yep.
Has been that despite the talent on this team, or lack thereof, they busted their ass every single night. And now you don't have that. You don't have teams. I mean, there were buckets and transitions that the Raptors had last night where just nobody touched them. I'm not even going to play defense. I'm not even going to try to go down there. Not even going to try to do one of those behind the back, you know, blocks as they go up for a layup. It just was embarrassing. And to me, it was the worst loss of the season because, I mean, you probably heard me right around this time yesterday going off and saying, don't worry, these guys just don't get up for games that don't mean anything. They're great against all these good teams, and against a team like the Raptors, they're going to be fine because it means something, and then it was garbage. But Gary Washburn kind of puts it in perspective last night. He's this is from an article this morning. He said, as the media were allowed in the locker room Tuesday at Scotiabank Arena?
Scotia.
All right. Yeah. Kyrie Irving, his legs soaking in ice buckets, was sharing a whisper quiet conversation with Celtics president of basketball operations, Danny Ainge. Ainge was listening. Irving was calmly venting. And Irving sat at his locker for several minutes, joking with teammates Jason Tatum and Marcus Morris. 9 o'clock tomorrow, we will have Danny Ainge at the show. It's the first question I'm going to ask. What are you guys talking about? It's reached a point in Boston where no one in the locker room, front office, or coaching staff can figure out why the Celtics are so inconsistent and at some points just quit. Irving's behavior didn't seem one of acceptance for the situation, but it wasn't one of crushing disappointment either. Maybe the Celtics have accepted who they are, a bewildering team that could maybe, if they are lucky and engaged, make a playoff run in 6 weeks and reach their preseason potential. Their 118-95 loss to the Toronto Raptors is nothing short of embarrassing, and this team is turning more unlikable by the day, similar to that of the 2011 chicken and beer Red Sox that melted in September and completely missed the playoffs. Is this the chicken and beer Red Sox? Are we feeling that right now?
Not yet. Not yet.
Woo!
Not yet.
Man.
I'm not feeling
it. I know it's regular season, and we're not at that point.
Playoffs. If they get bounced in the first round of the playoffs, that's something else entirely. But, yeah, this team is what it is. We have 6 weeks left of the regular season. I don't think there's time necessarily for improvement. Plus, they have to go to the West Coast. They have to play at Golden State. They have Houston at home. I mean, they got some tough games coming up. It doesn't get easier. So wherever they finish, they finish. But if they go out and lose in five or six games in the first round of the playoffs, then, yeah, I think you could say, okay, all of these locker room problems were such to the point that even the playoffs, even the fact that you know you have to buckle down and get ready, the playoffs couldn't solve. And, yeah, then you could kind of make that comparison.
I think they're cooked, buddy. I think they're cooked. I think they're done. I think it's over. I think last night's game just showed me. Look, not only was last night's game just awful to watch and uninspiring, but the game before was uninspiring.
But I wrote that off because it was a team they didn't have to beat. That last night was something
different.
But you
know what? You know, good teams don't take those cupcakes lightly either, man. I mean, Chicago was on a back-to-back. Boston was rested.
They won 16 games.
You lose to a team that had 15 wins up to that point. And so it's two games to me that made me feel like this team is over. It's done. They haven't figured it out all season long. They do for a minute, and then all of a sudden they go back. They get one step forward, two steps back. This team is done. It could get maybe into the second round. It is not getting past the second round. And they keep talking about the playoffs. It gives us everything's going to come together in the playoffs. There's nothing I've seen this year from this team that makes me think they're all going to figure it out when the playoffs come. Just because they say it doesn't mean it's going to happen.
All right, so Ted, you've been in locker rooms obviously your entire life, professional, college. I mean, you've been in situations where there's been chemistry issues and you have found chemistry. When you look at what Kyrie Irving is saying in these post-game press conferences and the way the rest of the team is reacting, or just like from looking at the bench and seeing how they interact with each other, is there anything that you see as a professional athlete that makes you read into what might be happening with this team?
Yeah, what I see, the dynamic I see, Rich and John, is that I see a player in Kyrie Irving who everybody's kissing as that. He's the anointed leader because he's the best player on the team, who's not committed to this team long term. And it looks as if he's half engaged with this team right now. And so here's the thing. You know what makes the San Antonio Spurs so good
I used to think Popovich.
Popovich, because you know what he could do? Popovich could chew the ass out of Tony Parker. He could Manu Ginobili, Tim Duncan, and all the other guys fell in line. So
you know why? It was because Tim Duncan took the criticism as much as anyone.
He had humility.
It's the Belichick-Brady thing.
It is.
When you can rip into Brady and Brady will take it, everyone else like, damn it, if he can do that to Brady, then I better listen to what this guy's saying.
Kyrie Irving, who gives, you know, his effort on defense is suspect. He has 7 points. He's uninspiring. He's shooting, taking terrible shots last night. And then he's over there in Danny Ainge's ear. You know, what are they talking about over there? All these young guys sit there and they look at that and they're like, here's the front office kissing this guy's ass when he doesn't even want to be here. And so it creates a lot of animosity in that locker room and every man for himself. And so if they don't believe in their leader, then and they don't believe that the front office is going to do the best thing in their for them by, you know, telling Kyrie, you know, either shut up to the media, either, you know, be more committed or commit one way or the other, then you're going to have a fractured locker room.
I read some statistics from that Deadspin article. It's kind of funny, but I mean, they break down, you know, the whole thing is Kyrie Irving a fraud? But I mean,
he's a fraud leader.
But they break down some stats and, you know, in many ways, I'll just read the first couple ones because they're kind of funny. He goes, the Celtics are undefeated in their last 6 games played without Kyrie Irving in the lineup with wins over 3 current playoff teams, including a road win over a team ahead of the Celtics in the standings. Number two, the Celtics are winless in their last 5 games played with Kyrie Irving in the lineup, including losses to the Bulls and Lakers. Number three, the Celtics are 9-2 overall this season in games without Kyrie Irving in the lineup. Number four, the Celtics went 14-8 in the regular season games last season without Kyrie Irving in the lineup. And number five, since Kyrie Irving joined the Celtics, they have a better win percentage in regular season games without him in the lineup, which is 69%, than in games with him in the lineup, 63%. And this is something that I know that has been a talking point that Celtics fans who have not liked Kyrie Irving, the way he's handled things, have been shooting out there. But now it's really, when you get this much heat, there's got to be a fire. And it's becoming a national storyline as well. Mm-hmm. Even on like ESPN this morning, I saw this whole chart with Kyrie Irving, without Kyrie Irving. Ooh, that's got to piss him off. That's got to piss him off real bad because he wants to be that leader so bad. And you're looking at the TV right now, and he's talking down about how he's teaching these young players. But now, you might be realizing, the young players are right. Like, you're taking away our time. You're telling us what to do. We were fine without you last year. And then he does this. This is his post-game press conference yesterday, in its entirety, with the media. So they come walking in. They see him talking to Danny Ainge, and it's over with. And here is Kyrie Irving.
Seems like lately, when the team's hit you guys with a big run, you haven't responded. What is behind that?
Can you talk about the lessons you want to take away from this game? Is there anything specific you really want to focus on for tomorrow?
Just remaining tough.
Brad talked about just defensively, you guys have been taking shortcuts. So do you see that, and how do you guys fix things like that at this point of the season, you feel like?
I don't know. It's up to Brad.
Marcus said that you guys aren't playing together. Is that a fair diagnosis?
I mean, that's Marcus's opinion.
So is it your
respect it?
All right, so the very end of that, he goes, it's Marcus's opinion, I respect it. And the guy asking the question is it yours? And Kyrie Irving just looked at him in silence and then walked away, and that was the end of the interview.
That was the biggest mistake out of all, because that's obvious. I mean, it is obvious.
It's like
playing together.
It's like, okay, so Kyrie Irving, can you have a post-game press conference where you don't crap on one of your teammates? Can you just have one? Mm-hmm. And I'm waiting for it. And I'm waiting for it, and I've been an apologist for that guy for so long. But my God, can we tally it up? Can someone tally up how many times he has crapped on one of his teammates?
Are you out? Are you out on the whole thing?
I'm not.
Are you out? Are you out on a Kyrie? You're out on the Celtics?
I'll tell you what I'm out on is regular season Celtics.
You're out.
Because they piss me off and it's not enjoyable anymore.
Okay.
And this is, I love watching the Celtics. But regular season is infuriating. I still believe that they're going to be able to pull it together in the postseason. And because,
pull it together to do what?
Although
to
go on a run. To go on a run.
Where?
What do you mean? Like
How far?
I'll tell you what, you give me more games like last night and it's going to go down and down and down.
Well, I mean,
as I said, last night was the one
right
game out of all of them.
How do you feel right now?
The Eastern Conference Finals. I still think Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay.
Because once again, I believe that until last night, God, that last night sucked. Until last night's game, they played hard
last
against
night
good
was
teams.
Bad.
It
in a lot of
really
ways, bad.
It was everything that they, every reason to play
shot
hard.
Shot all of your theories directly out of the water.
It did. And now it's one game. But it's enough to really make you consider.
Last night
what's
was a big time slap in the face, considering the first two games of the trip.
Real quick, a big problem with Kyrie is he thinks respect is given to him. It's got to be earned, man. Respect is the ultimate currency, and the only way you get it in this league is by going out there and playing hard every night and holding yourself accountable. That's not what Kyrie Irving does. So he doesn't have the respect of his teammates.
I mean, that might be the best point of the morning. Is that he's commanding respect, but he hasn't earned it with this team
he
yet.
He has not
if
earned it.
And he thinks he can just walk in and have a
Smart.
Ring.
Just agree with Smart on the obvious thing.
Just be like, yeah, we all got to play harder.
I got to play harder. We all got to play harder. We're not playing together now. We have 6 weeks to get this right. And thank goodness we still have time. And that's it. It's
guys
over.
Eat it up. They'll eat it up, John. They'll follow you. If you're humble and you take accountability and you clump yourself in.
Fall on the sword.
That's part of the problem.
Yep. If you fall on the sword, that is one of the most admirable qualities as a teammate.
It is, man.
Even if you know that it's not that
guy's
fault.
That's how leaders work.
That's right.
Yep. That's how leaders work through the media. It's exactly how you do it.
Man, I'm starting to go on team. And what's going to hate the whole likable enjoy? But how much more enjoyable would it be to watch the Celtics? Oh, I can't believe I'm saying this. If Kyrie Irving wasn't on it.
Well, it'd be easier to root for them because you wouldn't expect as much.
Sure. Yeah, maybe your expectations are a little bit lower, but also it would be like last year where I couldn't wait to watch them.
Because you
didn't balls out, defensive
balls
effort,
out.
Ball movement,
as much.
Everybody sharing the ball.
You
it was
didn't,
awesome.
But you didn't expect as much. No one thought they'd go nearly close to as far as they went.
All right, I will try. We'll try to get Mike Gorman on. We will continue chasing him. I'm sure he's probably slept in, so we will talk to him hopefully in just a little bit.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There are real problems within the Celtics right now. They just have played from day one like a team that doesn't want to play together. That has, you know, separate factions. I'm not saying it's a personal thing within that locker room, but guys that are in different places in their professional careers and just don't want to be a part of everything that's going on.
How could that not be a personal thing?
Well, I don't look at it as like Jason Tatum doesn't like Kyrie Irving or Jaylen Brown doesn't like Gordon Hayward. I just think you have those young guys who are coming off what they did last year to come within one game of beating LeBron James and advancing to the finals. And then all of a sudden they're asked to take not one step back, but basically three steps back. I mean, Terry Rozier has been a shell of the player that we once saw.
Yes.
This was a guy that was, you know, the start of the season, and maybe you can still see this, but he was barreling towards a $15 to $20 million per year contract next offseason as a restricted free agent. Now, I don't know what it's going to be for Terry Rozier. They just have not connected from day one. And I've been defending them for a while because it's like, all right, it's a new group. Give them time. But here we
are. They're still talented.
Look, they're still talented. And if you want to take the Rosie aspect of this, they play down to their competition. But they play up to everybody else.
That was recorded before last night's game, by the way. And now I'd like to hear what Manic says after he saw what happened yesterday, because I was, once again, of the mindset he was. So maybe this wouldn't be the most opportune time to give these away. Be listening this morning at 8:50
for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Celtics take on the Portland Trail Blazers. It's the bounce back game tonight at the TD Garden. Get priority access to season tickets by joining the waitlist today at Celtics.com/waitlist. That's coming up at 8:50. We will give those away. They're playing the Trail Blazers, which, did you hear about what happened to those guys yesterday?
I was just going to say that they've been sitting here waiting for the Celtics to get here. Celtics got home at about 3 a.m. last night. Portland was already here.
So they showed up yesterday and got some practice in, and they went to a practice facility off Boylston at Emerson College. Who the hell knew that there was a basketball court at Emerson College
Division
off Boylston?
Division III school.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, but going to the Division III tournament, NCAA.
I had to Google Maps where this happened.
John's all over
yes,
it, man.
I knew that.
Way to go, John.
Damn right I did.
So I had to Google Maps where this took place, and it's like, you know where I don't know how to pronounce it. Boloco, whatever it is. You know where it is right there in like the corner of Charles and Boylston, right by the Boston Common? Mm-hmm. It's like a block away from that on Boylston. Huh? There's like a hidden basketball court there. Yeah. So what ended up happening was that the Trailblazers went and thought they'd get like, you know, a little warm-up in. So they go to Emerson to do this. And in the meanwhile, about 7 or 8 of them, I'm counting, got trapped in an elevator. And they were stuck and they couldn't move for, they said it was an hour. But according to reports, it was 30 minutes, and I guess there's, like, no fan or anything in there. There's these gigantic guys.
Breathe on each other.
Oh, yeah, they're all sitting there and just absolutely sweating it out, and they started taking videos inside the elevator, and of course, including one of my favorite people on the planet, Mr. Evan Turner.
In the elevator, we got stuck in elevator, man. We're in a survival mode, man.
That took half the bar.
30 minutes, man.
We're about to give up. Almost 30 minutes.
We're about to give up. Hot in here.
So this is the guy showing up, opening it up mid-floor. It's the fire department to pull him out.
Come on, Jake.
Them dips getting a little lighter though.
They inching it up.
This is not how you treat a former number one team in the West.
This is not how you treat a former number one team in the West. That is, of course, Evan Turner, a.k.a. Meatwad from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
And, you know, I'm definitely going to try to slow him down, but tonight he made the shots we want him to take.
Don't you be giving up to me in that trip.
And it's basketball, and you always have a game of runs.
And if y'all need me, I'm going to be in the garage.
First, it seemed like we kind of missed.
Playing sheetrock, round an engine, I'm a bin.
We'll be fine.
I'm a dessert, and I deserve an adult glass.
And, you know, I'm definitely going to try to slow him down.
Yeah, that would be
spot on.
The great Evan Turner. But have you ever been stuck in an elevator before?
No.
Okay, so my wife had, and it was in a building that we used to live in years ago, and she had the dogs with her, and it's got, you know, it was an elevator that had one of those buttons where you could call, like an emergency button,
sure.
And apparently it was supposed to call either the front desk of the building we lived in or the fire department, and they pressed it, and... wasn't even connected to anything.
Nothing was happening.
It was like a cosmetic button. Nothing happened.
That's when I'd get a bit nervous right there.
Oh, yeah. So thank goodness they had, like, she had her cell phone with her. So she ended up calling the people at the front desk. And they, of course, don't know what to do. I mean, they have to figure out a way to open up these doors. She is mid-floor, like between two floors. And they finally, after I think 20 minutes of her stuck inside of there, and the dogs are kind of going nuts, they had to open it up, and meanwhile, she had to pick up these two big-ass bulldogs and, like, shoot them through the side of it. Now, the one thing that, unfortunately, these people kept telling her is that try to get out as fast as you can because this could start moving at any time. Could you imagine the nightmare of just, like, having to, like,
being
all right.
Being pinched between that, yes.
Or being pinched or just, like, you know, to move it.
Crushed.
Like, you know, just
crushed.
Being sliced
or
right
sliced.
In half.
Yeah.
Which would be utterly ridiculous. So, by the way, somebody said they practice at Emerson all the time, dude. Okay, well, I had no idea that. This is a common fact. I didn't know Emerson had a basketball court off Boylston Street. Very strange. All right, so Ted, this is the combine is here, or the combine is going on this week for the next several days. And
I've always found the combine to be amazingly degrading, where you just, if you are a athlete, you become for 6 days.
It's true.
Nothing but a piece of meat to be bought and sold and to be poked and prodded and to just have doctors sit down and do weird stuff and like coaches ask you questions that are, no one would, like if somebody asked you in public, you'd punch them in the face. Wildly personal, over the top. You've heard reports of all this. Now, since some of these reports have come out of some of the strange questions and practices these coaches use, I think there's been a little more of an eye on it. However, when you
totally
went,
toned it, you know, totally stopped doing that, though.
Well, back in the day when you were at the combine, yeah. I mean, this is like the heyday of when it was just all bets are off. You can ask any question you want. What was your experience when you were there? Yeah. Is it the way I describe it, where you feel like a human piece of meat?
It is, and I'd say the one kind of event that you do that where really kind of makes that very apparent is when you have the weigh-in, if you will, for each position. So my position, linebacker.
The famous Tom Brady photo.
That's the photo.
Strip you down to your shorts.
Right, yep. Strip you down to your shorts. You're in your shorts, and we're all standing there in this line up against the wall on one side of this kind of big ballroom, if you will. With a long stage on it that goes across the stage, and there's hundreds of people in the audience, okay? And so you go up one by one, and there's like five different stations. There's a station where you weigh yourself. There's a station, then you walk to the next one, and you go one at a time. So it's not like one guy goes, and then right away the next guy goes, and it's one guy goes each five stations, walks across to the end of the stage, walks down, and then leaves the room. So what happens is you get up there at first and they take your picture. You just stand there in your underwear and stare out in the crowd. And there's a lot of people taking notes of this one. Ted Johnson, linebacker, University of Colorado. And you just stand there. And they're all taking notes. You're like, what the hell are they talking? What are they writing down right now? Look, his pecs, his traps, oh, his jawline. I don't know what the hell they're writing. And then you step up on the scale, 248 pounds. Step down, please. You go to the next thing. You know, your wingspan, his wingspan, and they yell out the number of wingspan. Step down, please. And then you get their width of your hand measured. They yell out what the width of your hand is.
The width of your hand.
The width of your
hand.
Why
do you need that?
Well, for quarterbacks.
For quarterbacks.
Big hand.
No, I understand that, but for linebackers.
But
you swat the ball out of the air. I mean, there's a million reasons they need big hands.
I would say, you know, it's the two things that you need to have, and I only have one of them. Two things that you need, I think, physically, to really be a good at playing football or maybe all sports, long arms and big hands. If you have long arms and big hands, that will make you a better football player. So there's
what advantage do you have at your position to have big hands?
What's that?
Like what advantage? Like what specific advantage would it have for you at your position?
Oh, just to grab,
just be able to grab guys.
But also to hold the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, look, for maybe my position, it didn't factor in as much in my position because I was a defensive player, so I didn't have to have the biggest hands. Because I wasn't a pass rusher, and I didn't handle the ball a lot, right? 10 years, one interception. Now, my excuse is that they didn't throw to my zone. I always had my guy covered. But the truth is, I didn't have big hands. So the holding the ball wasn't as easy as it is for a lot of guys. Anyway, so you go up on the stage.
What's the fifth stage? What's the last one? You went through four.
The height, weight.
Hands. Arms.
Arms.
Dancing.
And I think that's
talent competition.
There's no talent competition. So I think it's maybe four. Those are the four I think that they do.
Are you watching the crowd to see if anyone is like saying anything to each other? Are there certain like teams that you might want to play for and you're seeing what that coach is doing?
Oh, the way they're reacting. Yeah, yeah. If they're chuckling. Oh yeah, you're watching all that today. You know, just going, oh crap, Bengals seem like they like me. I hope they don't draft me. But the other story is when you're there, all these teams, they're coming, they're grabbing you, and they want to talk to you. And, hey, Johnson, the Miami Dolphins want you in room, blah, blah. There was one head coach that grabbed me, took me into a stairwell, and did like a one-on-one 10-minute crash course in cover two and what I knew about cover two.
Who's that? In a stairwell?
In a stairwell.
Who did that?
Who do you think?
That sounds like a Belichick thing.
The head coach of the Cleveland Browns at the time.
Oh, so it was him.
A Belichick thing.
That just sniffed. It sounded like a Belichick thing.
Yeah, I mean, and okay. He just starts. I'm like,
so what does he say?
Like, no other coach had done that. No other coach, you know, wanted to put me on the board, or he didn't want anybody else to see that he was talking to me.
Oh, how that's so him, man.
Yeah. So
did he write something down on the wall?
He had a piece of paper there for me, and we started talking about cover two and what my read is and all and different things. And so I thought, well, maybe the Browns are going to draft me in the draft. Well, they drafted a linebacker in the first round. At the very end, they had a good season, 1994. Mm-hmm. I think they beat the Patriots in 1994.
Testaverde was a quarterback that year. That's right.
They drafted a linebacker named Craig Powell out of Ohio State. Didn't have a very long career, but
he did better in the stairwell.
I guess so.
This is a strange question. Like, when you go to these rooms, like, I don't know how it works. Is there like, do you have to go through a process in order to get someone in there? Like, in other words, did Bill Belichick kind of do something sneaky in order so you on the covert side were spoken to and there was no record of it?
That's probably a fair point. Like, I don't know if there's records or, but there's a procedure in which you follow.
Yeah.
Bill's, hey, Ted, you see Ted, he grabs me, he puts me in the stairwell, you got 5 minutes, let's go. Okay. And so that's what it was. I don't think that was the protocol in the proper procedure, but that's surprising.
No. When you said it's a coach, I was like, oh, it's got to be Belichick. So was there, now there's a lot of stories that come out from these players who go into these rooms and they'll be asked like really ridiculous, like kind of offensive questions to some of them. What were some of the weirder ones that you got?
The one that I remember is the famous one. It's a psychological, the one-on-one face-to-face interview stuff was very by the book for me. Okay. Nothing outrageous, nothing that I was like, wow, that's weird. Very much by the book with me.
Okay.
But there was two teams, and it was, I believe there's a Giants in conjunction with the Cleveland Browns, who had like a 400, 500 word multiple choice psychological test that they had you do, and it took a long time, and it was just questions based, like, you know, if a guy cuts you off, do you try and run him down and kill him, or B, slowly let off the pedal and so you get safe distance between them, you know, and you just had this psychological test.
I can see the Raiders being only one, take the guy that wants to kill him.
Kill the guy.
Yeah. You know?
But I think I'm the exception to the rule. I think a lot of guys get asked a lot of outrageous things. If there's things in their past, they want to see how they react.
Sure.
That kind of thing.
But, okay, so is there a reputation for, because that seems almost hacky, guys who do that, like coaches who do that. Is there a reputation
of...
It's a
very Neanderthal kind of approach. It's
like a guy who like thinks he's smarter than he actually is.
There's not like... Let's face it, a lot of the people that play football, or not play football, but run football, maybe, aren't the most evolved people. Aren't the most enlightened people. I'm just being honest.
Yeah. Sure, so, that's fair.
That's just the truth.
You're right, right.
You know, when you're in those interview rooms.
All right. Well, we have to take a quick break. But tickets. We got tickets to give away. Call number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. I could talk to you about the combine all day. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Celtics take on the Portland Trailblazers tonight at the TD Garden. Get priority access to season tickets by joining the waitlist today at Celtics.com/waitlist. Caller 10, 617-931-0985. Billy Jaffe in studio to talk about that unbelievable Bruins game and this. I mean, they are on fire as we speak. We'll get to him right after this.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The
visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Be honest. Wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.